Welcome to the podcast of Radius Church. This podcast is presented in the context of our Sunday morning service. We hope you enjoy this presentation.
In his book, Spiritual Disciplines of the Christian Life, Donald Whitney shares the experience of his 10th birthday party. He had his mom mail out invitations to his 8 best friends. This was going to be the best party of his entire life. His friends came over after school, and they played football and basketball until it was dark. His birthday was later in the year. And so after that, they came in, and they had hot dogs and hamburgers that his dad had grilled. Then they devoured cake and ice cream. They opened presents. But the best part of Donald's birthday was yet to come. It was the present that he was going to give his friends. He wanted to take his friends to the hottest ticket in town. Now, he lived in a small town. In the wintertime, in the fall, you know what that is? A high school basketball game, all right? And so he was going to take his friends to the basketball game. They get to the gymnasium. He's standing in front of the ticket booth, and as he's waiting in line, ready to pay, he just has this kind of moment where, man, I'm going to be with my friends, 4 on one side, 4 on the other. I'm in the middle. We're going to be munching popcorn and laughing and punching each other and watching the hometown heroes just, you know, go out there and perform and win. And he's so excited. He purchased the tickets. They walk inside. He gives the tickets to everyone. And his golden moment vanishes because all of his friends vanish. They took off. They go all throughout the gymnasium. They left him. There was no thank you for the ticket. No thank you for, hey, thanks for inviting me to the birthday party. No thank you for the food, for the fun, for anything. There wasn't even a happy birthday. I'm going to go sit with someone else. They just left him high and dry. So 10-year-old Donald goes and sits in the bleachers all by himself, growing old alone. And he says, it's one of the saddest moments of my entire childhood. How often do we treat God kind of like how Donald's friends treated him? I mean, God is the honored guest at an event, like a church service. And so we'll come and bring the routine gift, our tithes and our offerings. We'll sing some customary songs, but really, we're more focused on who's around us and what's going on, and we really just kind of forget all about God. In our own lives, as we go throughout the day, how much do we make God an honored guest in our lives? How much do we walk with the Spirit? That's what we talked about last week, having this relationship with the Holy Spirit. And how much do we just kind of put God over to the side and do our own thing, leaving Him all alone to sit in the bleachers? This morning, I want to talk about worship. We are on week 4 of our series, The 7 Dimensions of Disciple Making. I want to welcome everyone here today. I want to welcome our online family. Thank you for being with us. We're glad you're here, that you've joined us today. And we've been learning for the past few weeks, how do we make disciples? Because we spent time this summer talking about how do we win people to Christ. Our theme for 2022, it's one word. What is it? Lead. We've been talking about leading ourselves, leading our families, leading our kids. And this summer we talked about leading not yet Christians to Jesus, into having a relationship with God. But it's not just enough to lead them into a relationship where they can become a Christian and they make a one-time commitment. We need to lead them into becoming disciples. So that's what we've been looking at the past several weeks. And we've looked at the first 3 dimensions of discipleship. They're there on your notes: the Bible, prayer, and a relationship with the Holy Spirit. Those are the 3 things that we have talked about this morning. And by the way, if you have missed any of our messages, whether here or online, you can go back and watch them on our website. But we handed out some resources during those times. A Bible reading guide. We taught you how to get something out of the Bible with the SOAP process. And then also a prayer guide. We taught you how to develop a prayer life. If you want any one of those 3 resources, you can go to our website, radiuschurch.life. go to the About Us page, look under Resources, and we have those right there for you so you can download those at any time. This morning, as we talk about worship, the thing that we need to realize, and this is in your notes today, that worship is more than a song. It's a lifestyle. Worship is more than a song. It's a lifestyle. It's not what we just did for the past 25 minutes with the worship team up here, although that's part of worship. See, worship is singing. It's exalting God. It's praising God for who He is. It's thanking God for what He's done. We see in the Bible in Psalm 99, verse 9, exalt the Lord our God, worship at His holy hill. In Psalm 92, verse 1, it is good to give thanks to the Lord and sing praises to your name, O Most High. So verbal praise and thanksgiving, that's a part of worship. We're to do them on our own, in our own devotional time. As we spend time in the Word and prayer, those first two dimensions of discipleship, we're to be people that are praising and thanking God. Also, we do it corporately. So worship is a gathering together corporately to exalt God. We see this in several places, just a few of them, like Psalm 107, verse 32. It says, let them exalt Him also in the assembly of the people. In Psalm 35, 18, I will give you thanks in the great assembly and praise you among many people. In Hebrews chapter 10, verse 25, we're told to not forsake the assembling of ourselves together. And so coming together as a body of Christ to corporately worship God, that is part of worship also. You see, Christianity is not to be lived in isolation. The Bible uses a lot of different metaphors for the church. One is a body in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 12. Another one is a building. That's in Ephesians chapter 2, 21. And then it talks about that we are also a household. That's Ephesians 2, 19. And each one of those is a picture of individual parts, body parts, that are part of a larger whole, the body. Bricks, stones in a building. Members of a family in the whole household. God wants us as individuals to be connected together with each other. And I'm thankful for our online media ministry. And, you know, sometimes when you're sick or on vacation, you can't make it. And I just want to encourage you for our online family, if you don't have a place to go regularly, you need to be connected in relationship, because those relationships, they're going to strengthen you. We want to help our online ministry, and we're going to be starting an online campus host ministry here in the next few weeks, where we have people during the service who are going to be here live interacting with our online family, being able to pray for you and just connect with you. We want to help you, but we also encourage you to get involved in relationship. Each of us needs relationship. Look at your neighbor and say, you need relationships. There are no Lone Ranger Christians. Even the Lone Ranger had Tonto. So find your Tonto. Okay, so worship is praising and thanking God. Worship is coming together for corporate worship, but it is more than music. It's more than a church service. Worship is to be a lifestyle. Psalm 34, verse 1, it says, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. This verse is not talking about a 24/7 worship service. It's not talking about us being in church all the time, never going to work, never going to school. No, it's not talking about just singing a song. Worship is an anthem of your heart that flows out of your attitude. God wants us to have this lifestyle of worship that is ascending up to God. So let's talk about worship as a lifestyle. What does that mean? That might be a new concept to some of us. This is what we need to invest into new disciples, people that have just come to Christ. And maybe some of us, we've never realized what worship is. In your notes, number one this morning, worship as a lifestyle is a lifestyle of focusing on and responding to God. Worship is a lifestyle of focusing on and responding to God. This past week, I was at a friend's house, and he was watching a Seattle Mariners baseball game. Now, he was focusing on the game and responding to it. Every batter that came up, oh yeah, he's a good one. Oh yeah, this one, we might be in trouble here. You know, every strike, every hit, everything that he's kind of commentating about the game. He is focused on and responding to everything that's happening. For me, I'm not really paying attention. I'm not a baseball fan. I'm just not into baseball. Now, tonight, when the Dallas Cowboys are playing the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, I will be focused on and responding to that game. Okay, I don't want to start a fight here, all right? I know we have both fans in the house here. Pray for my Cowboys. I don't have much faith in them this year, so anyway. Really don't have faith in them any year, but hey, that's another, a whole other topic. But here's the thing. Every play, if they run on first down all the time like they always do, I'm going to respond to that. If they get a first down, they make a touchdown, I'm going to respond to that. If there's an interception, or we fumble the ball, or they score a touchdown, I'm going to respond to that. I am going to be focusing and responding to the game. Why? Because I value the team. I didn't value the Mariners. I didn't value baseball, so I didn't focus and respond to it. So here's the thing. If we are a people that value God, then our lifestyle is going to naturally focus on and respond to Him. If we're not really focusing on God, if we're not responding to Him as we do the other three dimensions, as we read our Bible and we're not really responding to what the Holy Spirit is trying to say to us, as we're praying and we're not taking time to listen to what God wants to say to us, as the Holy Spirit nudges us throughout the day and we don't respond to those nudges, we're not really valuing God. We really don't have a designation of worth to Him. We're more focused on other things in life. We need to be a people that place worth and value on God. The word worship comes from an old English word that means worth-ship, W-O-R-T-H, worth-ship. And so if you give sufficient worth to something, you will worship it. If we give sufficient worth to God, we will live a life that focuses on Him and responds to Him. When you look in Revelation chapter 4, you have God seated on a throne, the 24 elders and all the angels around, and their focus is on God, and they're responding to God, to His holiness, to His justice, to His love. They're praising Him. A life of focus and response is a life of worship. Sometimes our lives can be so focused on self, we're absorbed with self, that the reality is we're worshiping ourselves. Can you imagine worshiping yourself? Can you imagine singing songs of praise and worship to yourself? It might look something like this. Watch the screen.
It's all about me. Really.
It is all about you. Now, the greatest collection of me worship ever assembled on one CD.
It's all about now I lift my name on high.
All 20 songs, all about you.
My praises, I exalt me.
This amazing collection is great to share with friends, if you have any. Everyone can join in the worship with you, for you, and about you. Because you are unique, and you love you.
There is none like me. No one else.
All this
can do
for only $19.95.
Like
operators
do.
Are standing by to serve you.
And I am why I sing, and I am why I live.
If you order now, you'll also receive a second CD of Yuletide Favorites.
I sing. No.
1-800-ME-ME-ME, order online at me, myself, and I.com. Call today because no one can praise you like you.
Look out for the lightning bolts, huh? Kind of ridiculous, isn't it? But as you go to work tomorrow, students, as you go to school tomorrow, are you going to be really singing about yourself because you're not thinking anything about God? You're not focused on God and how the Holy Spirit wants to walk with you and have that relationship with you and use you to intercede for people and see people come to Christ like the Word talked about this morning? Are we so absorbed in ourselves that we're not focusing and responding to God as we go throughout our day? Worship's not just what we do here for 90 minutes. It's a lifestyle of focusing and responding to God. That's the first aspect of a lifestyle of worship, okay? Let's take a look at number two in your notes. A lifestyle of worship is a lifestyle of sacrifice. A lifestyle of worship is a lifestyle of sacrifice. In the Old Testament, when people came to worship God, it almost always involved a sacrifice. The Old Testament worship system had sacrifices and offerings. When you look in Genesis 22, Abraham is about ready to sacrifice his one and only son, his beloved son Isaac, because God told him to. Now, God was never intending for Abraham to kill him. He was just testing him to see who was more important. Was Isaac more important? Was the promise that God gave more important? Or was God more important? And so worship involves sacrifice, and Paul taught this to the New Testament church. Romans chapter 12, verse 1, it says, "I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship." You see, real worship surrenders what it wants to what God wants. Real worship says, "God, it's not about me, it's about you. It's about doing your will, doing your purposes, accomplishing what's important to you." Jesus echoed that sentiment when he was talking about what does it mean to be a disciple. In Luke chapter 9, verse 23, he said to them all, "If anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross daily, and follow me. For whoever desires to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will save it." Sometimes Christ followers don't want to sacrifice, live a life of laying everything down to God and saying, "God, you can be in control," because they're afraid they're going to miss out. But here's the thing. The reality is we're missing out if we don't, because God's ways are way beyond ours, beyond what we can think, beyond what we can imagine. God's plans are so much greater. The book of Isaiah, chapter 55, verse 9 says, "As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts." You see, when we compare our thoughts and our desires to God's thoughts and God's desires, our thoughts and desires don't even get off the ground. But God's ways and thoughts are galaxies beyond. We miss out on so much when we don't live a life that's surrendered to God. In your notes this morning, there's a great statement there. It says, "It's great to submit to God because we open ourselves up to the impossible." I want you to think about that. When you submit to God, when Peter submitted to Jesus, Jesus said, "Walk out on the boat." "Okay, I'll submit to you." He walked on water. He opened his life up to the impossible. If he said, "No way," he never would have walked on water. Anytime we open ourselves up to God, we're opening ourselves up to the impossible. Surrendering to God doesn't limit our potential. It unleashes unlimited possibilities. When you and I say, "God, I'll surrender, I'm going to live a life of sacrifice," we're opening ourselves up to more than we ever could have imagined. You don't miss out on anything except misery and regret and discouragement when you surrender your life to God. Jonathan Stockstill has a song that's called "Here Is My Worship," and this is part of what the song says. It says, "Worship is sacrifice. My life surrendered, broken and open to you. Worship is loving you, giving you glory, singing of all you have done." Friends, when we live a life of sacrifice, we're opening ourselves up to everything that God has for us. That's a lifestyle of worship. The last thing I want to look at this morning as we talk about a lifestyle of worship, number three in your notes, it's a lifestyle that approaches God and is dog wild about Him. Dog wild, yes, it's a new word. It's in Craig Mellendorf's Dictionary of the American Language, okay? Worship is a lifestyle that approaches God and is dog wild about Him. The New Testament has several different words that it uses for worship. When you look at the word worship, there can be several different words. One of the most prominent is used 60 times, and the word is proskuneo. Proskuneo is a compound word. The first part, pro, it means to move towards something, to approach, to go near. That's the first part. The second part of the word is a derivative from a word that means dog. So it's a picture of a dog going near. A dog going near its master. How does a dog respond when it sees its owner? It's excited. You know, we went boating with some friends over Labor Day, and we came back from the lake. They had two great big chocolate labs, and when we walked in those in the house, those dogs, they went ballistic. Arr, 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 and they're jumping up and down. They start twirling, doing twirling, you know, cookies in the carpet. They were so happy to see their owners. And later when we were sitting down, we were just kind of talking about the dogs, and my friend says, you know, because we have a dog also, he says, to our dogs, we are their world. And I thought about it, and it's like, that is so true. We are their world. I mean, I have a toy poodle, a little poodle, white poodle. Her name is Taffy. And when I come home, I mean, she comes racing, barking, rah, 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 and she's jumping up and down on me. She's so happy to see me. She's so excited. When our kids come over, when Rebecca comes home, when Elise comes home from school, I mean, she goes ballistic over everyone. She doesn't get that excited about anything else. She is going ballistic. She goes dog wild over us. And friends, that's what the majority of the worship in the New Testament, that's the word, a dog going near, a dog coming to its master, licking his hand, licking his face, just being so excited to see its owner. My question for us is, how excited are we about God? How excited were we when we got up this morning for church? Yeah, I can't wait to worship. Or, yeah, I better go because I know it's the thing to do. Do we do it out of duty or do we do it out of devotion? How excited are you to spend time in prayer and reading the Bible, spending time being alone with Jesus? Does that excite you? Or, yeah, I better check off my daily reading list. I better do my to-do list. Friends, God wants you and I to be excited about being with Him. He wants us to enjoy Him. That's a lifestyle of worship. A lifestyle that is approaching God, not withdrawing from Him. And that's dog wild about Him. Now, you don't have to howl in the grocery store, okay? We're not talking about that. But it's just this focus, this level of, man, God, you're good. I love you. You're awesome. I want to be with you. I want to walk in the Spirit all day long. As disciples, we need to be people that are living a lifestyle of worship, not just coming and singing for 20, 25 minutes on a Sunday morning and thinking that's good. Worship involves our whole life. It's a life that focuses on and responds to God. It's a life of sacrifice that when God says, I want you to do this, and we say, uh-uh, I don't want to do this, instead of arguing or resisting or ignoring, we say, yes, God, I'm going to lay down what I want. It's a lifestyle that always has this attitude of, I want to approach God, and I'm enjoying Him, I'm excited about Him. And I realize that's sometimes hard in the situations we're in, but that is the goal that we're working towards in our life as we walk in the Spirit. What do you get excited about? Your football team playing today? You get excited about your raise? Students excited about going back to school? I expected to hear a few moans and groans on that one. But really, what are you excited about? Getting together with your friends afterwards this afternoon and doing something. What are we excited about? You know, as I think about this spirit of excitement and we talk about worship, there's one person who comes to mind, and that's King David. I mean, he got so excited when they were bringing the ark back to the tabernacle that he started dancing, and he started the dancing in the word there. He's twirling, he's going around in circles. It was going so high that his tunic went up and you could see his undergarments. All right? Not very dignified for a king, but he really didn't care. David was this guy, it says he was a man after God's own heart. And I want to read a psalm to you that David wrote, Psalm 138. We're going to close with this morning. He says, Lord, I will. Notice it says will. You don't always feel like it, but sometimes I will thank. Thanksgiving and praise needs to be a decision of your will, not a feeling, not when you feel like it. He says, I will thank you with all my heart. I will sing to you. I will bow down facing your holy temple, and I will thank you for your love and loyalty. You realize God is loyal to us? He's loyal to us. Goes on to say, you have made your name and your word greater than anything. On the day I called to you, you answered me. You made me strong and brave. Lord, let all the kings of the earth praise you when they hear the words you speak. They will sing about what the Lord has done because the Lord's glory is great. Though the Lord is supreme, he takes care of those who are humble. See, if we're humble, he takes care of us, but he stays away from the proud. Lord, even when I have trouble all around me, you will keep me alive. Some versions say, though I walk in the midst of trouble, you will revive me. There may be some of you today, you're walking in the midst of trouble. It says, when my enemies are angry, you will reach down and save me by your power. Verse 8, Lord, you do everything for me. Lord, your love continues forever. Do not leave us whom you made. This morning, God is asking us to live a lifestyle of worship, and maybe some of you, you don't feel like worshiping God. And maybe the reason is you're walking in that midst of trouble. Maybe you have been praying, but you feel like God isn't coming through. You feel like he's let you down, and it's like, why should I praise? Why should I give thanks? I'm not seeing God move in my life. But friends, just as Jerusalem was surrounded by the Assyrian army, the prophet, he said to his servant, look up to the hills, see the army of God. He couldn't see the armies, so he prayed for God to open his eyes. And the servant, he saw the armies of God that were surrounding him. They were there. Friends, God has not left you alone. He loves you. He's been loyal to you. And he wants you to worship him personally, corporately, but to focus and respond on Him throughout your day, to approach Him, to be dog wild about Him, and to lay down your wants, to sacrifice yourself and say, God, not my will, but your will be done. Some of us need a greater excitement of God in the midst of our problems. Some of us, maybe we've lost our first love. We've gotten caught up in money, caught up in our career, caught up in a relationship, caught up in pleasure, in our hobbies, and we've been neglecting God, and God is not the priority anymore, and we need to return to our first love. There are some of us, God's been speaking to us about something to lay down, a sacrifice, and we've been fighting Him. And God, He just keeps gently loving and tugging, knocking on the door of our hearts, saying, hey, will you give it to me? Can you trust me that I'm going to open up unlimited possibilities to you? You're not missing out. There is so much more if you just surrender to me. Wherever you're at this morning, if you'd say, Craig, I need to live a life of worship, whether it's a life of sacrifice, a life that focuses on and responds to God even in the midst of trouble, or a life that says, I need to go dog wild, I need a greater love for Jesus than anything else. If you want a life of worship this morning, I just want you to raise your hand. Just say, I need a greater worship. That's awesome. Many hands raised this morning. Thank you. Maybe you're watching online today and you'd say, that's me. I need this lifestyle of worship. Go ahead and lift your hand up. One last thing. I'd like everyone to bow your heads and close your eyes this morning, because I realize there might be some in the house or some online that you're not a Christian. The greatest sacrifice is laying your life down and saying, God, I realize I'm a sinner. I realize that Jesus died for my sin, and I need to make you the leader of my life. I need to put you in charge, and so I give my life to you. You receive God's forgiveness, and you receive His leadership. If you're in the house this morning or watching online, and you'd say, I need to become a Christian, I want to become a follower of Jesus, would you just put your hand up today? Anyone here this morning, you'd say, I need God's forgiveness. I realize I've been going my own direction. I need to follow God with my life. Just put your hand up and you can put it back down. Anyone here this morning? Those of you watching online, if you know that God's convicting you, He's pulling on your heart, you feel Him drawing you near to Him, just go ahead and raise your hand and say, God, here I am today. I want to respond to your grace. I need your forgiveness. Go ahead and do that this morning. Anyone else in the house today, you'd say, that's me, Craig. I need to give my life to Christ. Just put your hand up. Anyone else this morning? I want to say this prayer. I'd like each of us to respond, no one praying alone. Lord God, I am a sinner. I have done wrong. I need your forgiveness. I surrender my life. I give up control. I put you first place. I receive your forgiveness and your leadership. Thank you, Jesus, for your sacrifice. I give my all to you. Amen.
You have been listening to the podcast of Radius Church in Casper, Wyoming. For more information, please check us out at radiuschurch.live or call us at 307-265-9121. We hope you've enjoyed this presentation.